Normally, I draw my text on a Sunday morning from our upcoming Wednesday night study. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, this coming week, so you can read ahead if you want. But as it is Mother's Day, I'd like to do a little Mother's Day time and talk about some important things the Bible has to say that I think hopefully is meant to be a blessing. And I even hope to be shorter than normal, if you can even imagine that. So let's roll. Why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. I can almost hear what some of you ladies are thinking. Oh, great. The Proverbs 31 woman, Little Miss Perfect. I've noticed that Proverbs 31, it is a tall order, but I think a lot of people don't understand how to read Proverbs 31, so we're going to do that here on this Mother's Day. They say motherhood is full of frustrations and challenges, but eventually they move out. Perhaps some of the greatest contributions of mothers are the things they teach us. They teach us all the essential things. Did your mom teach you about, say, like receiving? My mom used to say, you're going to get it when you get home. I learned about receiving, especially when my dad got home. Or logic, because I said so, that's why. Your mom taught you that. Or did your mom teach you medical science? If you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way. Or genetics, you're just like your father. Some of your moms, if they're a little rougher around the edges, they taught you about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mom used to say, teach me about weather. She said, Brett, it looks like a tornado went through your room. Or international missions. Don't you know there are millions of starving children in the world and you won't even eat your peas? Or doing the impossible. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Or some of your moms taught you about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Oh man, we love our moms. We love that they taught us and trained us in so many things and worked. Being a mom is no joke. It's a tough, tall order. Proverbs 31 is a book, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and there's wisdom about a woman here in Proverbs 31, but the problem is a lot of people don't know how to read this or interpret it, and I think we need to help with that, because I want to be a blessing to the women at Athey Creek here by showing you something that I think is kind of cool biblically. So let's take a look. It's Proverbs 31. And as it turns out, this little Proverbs 31 woman is defined in verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Let's read. It says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Is anybody getting tired yet? This woman makes her husband happy and does him good, and he doesn't need even to work because she's so busy. He doesn't need to get spoiled because he trusts that she's going to take care of everything. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She doesn't go to the fabric depot. She's making material herself. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She gets food for her family from afar. So instead of going to Safeway just down the road, she goes to Winco and gets the, the kids set up with food. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night, before the sun's even up, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's feeding everybody breakfast before the sun even comes up. She considereth, verse 16, a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. So she lives out in Dundee, and she's out there working a vineyard, and while she's making breakfast early for the kids and making material. Whew. Then verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She's into CrossFit. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Man, the Proverbs 31 woman gets up before the sun rises and she's working, burning the candle at both ends. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So not only is she taking care of the family and making her own material, but she cares for the poor and needy. Wow. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. If you see that word scarlet there, it's noted in many of your margins. It says double layered. Which one is it, scarlet or double layered? It's a tricky Hebrew word, but it's probably double layered. Or she's not afraid of the snow because she's already done the work. She made the wool clothing for her family, double layer. She's ready to roll for the wintertime. Verse 22, she maketh herself. Now she's gonna make herself look pretty at the same time. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. The implication is she's doing all the work so that her husband can go and be a civic leader in the community. He's out there sitting in the gates while she's working. He's just sitting there. No, the husband who's sitting in the gates, the idea is that when you sat in the gates of a city, you were a judge or a leader in the city. And the implication is she is the one who's helping him achieve that of being a leader in the community. And it's really because of her. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles to the merchant. Apparently people needed a lot of girdles back in those days. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's strong even in hard times, and she knows that the payoff's gonna be way down the road in the future. She's not just living for the here and now is kind of the idea there. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, what a combo, wisdom and kindness. I know people that are full of wisdom, but you don't really wanna hang around with them. They're always saying wise things. And wise is not always fun. But this woman is wise, but also kind. Wow. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not sitting around looking at TikTok videos all day. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Phew, this woman makes us all tired just thinking about doing all that stuff that she does. Little Miss Perfect. And the problem is, some of you ladies read Proverbs 31 and think, oh man, this is a checklist of things I'm supposed to be doing. I gotta be getting up early and making breakfast, but I also have to go buy a vineyard in Dundee and go to Winco and Wilco or wherever, get the feed for the children. I gotta do all this stuff, work out at the gym. But the problem is we miss the point of Proverbs 31. Do you understand? This Proverbs 31 is not, in fact, a checklist for you to be the perfect woman. It's actually, there's some interesting things you should know about this. Let me show you a few interesting things about Proverbs 31 woman. The first thing I want you to know is it's a poem. Well, big deal, Brett, so it's a poem. No, it is. It's a poem, and there's a signal for you and me. When you see a poem in the Bible, the Jews looked at poetry in a little different way than we do. Let me kind of explain that a bit. First of all, how do we know it's a poem? Well, in the English translation, you just think it's a description, almost like a checklist of an amazing woman. But if you read it in the Hebrew, it's an acrostic poem. What's the word acrostic? It means that using the Hebrew alphabet, each verse or line starts with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's kind of a thing that makes you realize, oh, this is a signal that this is a poem, as it is in the book of poetry. The book of Proverbs is just that. But this little section, verses 10 through 31, each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet begins the each statement. Not only is it acrostic in nature, but it's also one of the things you can't forget. The woman is a metaphor all throughout the book of Proverbs as being, well, does anybody know what the woman is actually? There's actually two different things, but one's kind of really bad, but there's one that's really good. And the good one is the woman is compared to, idiomatically, as wisdom. In fact, as early as Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, wisdom is compared to a woman who shouts in the streets, chastising fools and scoffers. She's out there just like wisdom pushes fools and scoffers away. And it's compared to a woman who does this. And wisdom is compared to or anthropomorphized. You say, what? Anthropomorphized is a fancy word for saying that wisdom is pictured by a woman. In fact, Proverbs 8 and 9, those two chapters, it talks about wisdom. It's all about wisdom. And it says, and wisdom, she does this, and wisdom, she does that. And all of chapter 8 and 9 are these amazing descriptions of wisdom personified by a woman. That's interesting. The reason I point that out is I think people miss that the metaphor of Proverbs 31 is a detailed metaphor that's throughout the whole book of feminine wisdom in the context of family and community. Probably one of the more quoted sections of Proverbs is this 10 through 31. And women's ministries and conferences all around Proverbs 31. But the thing is, it's not just a poem for the sake of being a poem. In fact, it's a poem because of the acrostic letter thing I told you about, but it's also a poem because of the chiastic nature of it. What's a chiastic poem? Well, it's a funny little thing. The Bible does this from time to time. Chiastic poem is this. It's a poem that cycles through repeated thoughts in a particular order. Jesus actually used this in short form. What was a chiastic statement? Like Wednesday night when we were studying in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 and 3, remember when Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. That's a chiastic statement. It goes from here over to here and then back over to here. There's a pattern. That's a simple one. Out and in. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the first shall be last. The last shall be first. That's a real simple form of chiastic statement. But in a more Hebrew poetry fashion, the Hebrew authors would do poetry where they'd go several steps out and then they'd reverse several steps back. And they'd go through this interesting sort of pattern. And that's the nature of the, not only is there the acrostic, the letters at the beginning, but the chapter speaks of five notions and it goes in and out of those five in a pattern, which is kind of cool. The problem is our English language, it doesn't perfectly define those five things. So we have to do it a little more clumsily than the author of the Hebrew language using this sort of tactic. Let me just give you the five notions of the Proverbs 31 woman that are the repeated over and over again. The first thing is the worth of a good wife to her husband. You know how the whole thing starts. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above the rubies. The value of a great and godly wife to her husband. That's the first one. And then the second notion is the manual labor that she does. She's a hard worker. The third notion is she fulfills her responsibilities to those that need her, her direct family and children. The fourth notion is her ability to provide materially for her family. And the fifth notion is her wisdom in caring for herself so that she has the strength to care for others, including the needy. And you see this pattern go in and out over and over in this little acrostic, chiastic poem. Well, la-ti-da, Pastor Brett, so you know about poetry. I really don't, but there's a reason this is important. When the Hebrew people, the Jews, would read their Hebrew Bible, which that's what this is, the Old Testament, when they see this kind of stuff, they saw that as a flag or a marker to say, this is something that's important. But But what's interesting about this, if you go to Jewish tradition and some of the ancient Hebrew people, they actually had a practice. And as it turns out, the Proverbs 31 woman is a poem and they were required to memorize. But who are the they? Well, this is point number two that I want to point out. And that is, not only is it a poem, but number two, it's targeted to the audience of men, not women. Huh? You see, this is an important thing to understand. The Jewish men from early ages, they were required to memorize verses 10 through 31. Men were. Why, Pastor Brett, were men marching around, you need to be the Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm gonna quote, you need to make flax and make material out of wool and get busy and go shopping, and is that what it was all about? No. The man in the Jewish home, during certain festivals and feasts, often it would be the women who would start the proceedings, lighting candles and getting everything set. But the next thing that would happen in some of these feasts and festivals is the man would stand up in his home and he would sing this to his wife, his mother, and to his daughters. The man would sing this. Oh, Brett, that makes me so mad. See, this is the women of today. The liberated woman gets mad about everything. And be careful about that, because it's not all bad. Let me tell you what this was about. This was not a man singing this song, ordering his wife and his grandmother and his mother and his daughters to be the Proverbs 31 woman. It was not orders to the woman. It was an ode to womanhood. When the man would speak this out, he's celebrating what an amazing godly woman does. And as it turns out, this wasn't meant really to be just the perfect woman that he's talking about. He's talking about how women in general fulfill the Proverbs 31 order. That women do these amazing things and it's to be celebrated and these women should be encouraged. The Proverbs 31 woman is actually a collective picture of all the things that godly women do. It's not found, can you imagine being a single woman who does all of Proverbs 31? I would argue that that's impossible. I mean, at least maybe you could pull it off for 2 or 3 days, getting up before the sun rises, burning the candle at both ends, making a vineyard, making clothing, wearing silk, lifting weights, going shopping. I mean, you might be able to pull that off, but you're gonna just get pooped. If this is one woman, that's impossible. But this Proverbs 31 woman was never one woman. It's talking about the collective picture of a godly group of women. This shouldn't be unfamiliar to you and me as Christians, because that's what the Lord does with his bride, the bride of Christ. Question, who's the bride of Christ? The church of Jesus Christ, that's everybody that's saved, all of us in this room that are Christians, the bride of Christ. Yeah, I look out there and I think, man, there's some brides out there with beards like down to here. It's like, whoo, scary bride, whoo. No, but we're not literally like the bride. It's a picture in the Bible. Collectively, the church is the bride of Christ. In the same way, the Proverbs 31 woman is a collective picture of all godly women and a celebration. It's a celebration of women, not a job description for women. That's how I think women get pooped looking at this going, oh, good luck. I don't measure up to this. But see, what's so cool is the man was responsible to say, look what the women of our community do. They spin flax with their hands and make garments. They go far away and go on long journeys to get the best food for their family. They're buying real estate and making vineyards. This isn't one woman, this is sort of the collective, and this is sung in appreciation, not in expectation. In appreciation, in a way it's like pre-Mother's Day. See, Mother's Day is an interesting thing because we have chosen to say over the years, Mother's Day, we're gonna celebrate moms and what they do. And that's a wonderful thing. I have noticed though, maybe you have too, it's not just me, I saw an article this morning how people like Mother's Day less and less. Have you guys sensed that Mother's Day, people are kind of like grouchy about it? And everybody's grouchy, I've noticed this. I've noticed that moms are grouchy, some of them, because they think, well, I don't measure up, and oh, stop saying I'm a great mom or great grandma. I've made mistakes. Well, welcome to the world. We're all that way. We all make mistakes. So, but Mother's Day is meant to celebrate the good things that you've done. Well, I haven't done anything good. And so or have you heard this one where we live in a culture that if I don't get something and you do, then I'm mad at you and I'm not gonna celebrate you. So if you didn't have a good mother, then I'm not gonna celebrate Mother's Day. Or there's some sad, if you wanna be a mother and for whatever reason, God hasn't blessed you with children. And I've seen where people get bitter and say, I don't like Mother's Day because it reminds me that I can't have children. Yeah, but you were born of a woman. You're here, so that tells me something. Of course, some of you in Portland might not realize that it takes a woman to... I won't go into that. Maybe I should. Yeah, maybe I should. It takes a woman. But what is a woman? Anyway, how many of you guys have seen that documentary, What is a Woman? It's shocking. It's shocking. Worth viewing, if you ask me. But... This Proverbs 31 woman was meant to be an encouragement, a blessing, not a bummer. So it's a poem. The men were to remember and memorize this poem and recite this. The men had to learn this so that they would speak this at these feasts and festivals to really encourage and celebrate their appreciation, not expectation, appreciation. Now, I also have seen that Mother's Day has become a bummer for reasons. Some people are, you know, a single woman. But see, what I love about this Proverbs 31, it includes the single woman. Like, we're not just talking about mothers here. We're talking about womanhood in general, all of which can be celebrated. Now, what's interesting, the third part of this that I find fascinating, and it starts to connect some dots for me, is it's all about a virtuous woman. That's the word used here. Who can find a virtuous woman? And then the rest of it goes on and tells us what that virtuous woman looks like. But again, it's the collective of womanhood. It's about the virtuous women, you might say. But the word virtuous is an unfortunate translation from the Hebrew text. Virtuous, what do you think of when you think of virtuous? You know, it depends on your, you know, what you think virtue means, but a lot of people picture purity, piety, a halo around her head as she sits there like Jesus with her fingers thus. The virtuous woman, oh, the angels are singing. That's not the word that's really here. If you pull the virtuous woman out of this text and you look it up in the Hebrew dictionary, well, there's two words that say virtuous woman in the Hebrew. It's hayil isha. And the easy one, again, for those of you in Portland, the Bible says there's ain't but two genders. And the word isha is woman. This is the easy word out of the two. But the first word is an interesting word. When you look up the Hebrew, there's all kinds of words associated. We don't have an exact translation from hayil to English. So the King Jimmy just says virtuous. But the word virtuous is not the best. If you look up hayil in the dictionary, the Hebrew dictionary, it's all these words: might, strength, power, ability, valiant, virtuous, valor, army, host, forces, riches, substance, wealth. Does that make sense to you? Like, what does army have to do with virtuous or forces, substance? What this word virtuous actually means is substantive. There's a depth, there's a gravity to this person. And by the way, when the word hayil is used in the Hebrew Bible, the scholars, the linguistic scholars, they use the context to understand which direction this word is being more targeted. And if you ask the true linguistic Hebrew scholars, the context of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 30:31 is actually the word valor or valiant. When you think of the word valor, what's a word you think of? Bravery. Bravery, strength, courage, valor, and valiant. The linguistic scholars believe the Proverbs 31 woman is being called. Who can find a woman that's full of valor and bravery and courage and strength? Do you see how the word virtuous doesn't really bring us to where I think the original intent of the word, we kind of miss it. So you see, this is important because I think this presents perhaps a beautiful picture. One of the fun things about going verse by verse through the Bible is you start to connect dots. And I think we don't even scratch the surface of the depth of the Bible and the connections. Let me give you just one example of this. The word the two words, virtuous woman, there's actually a woman in the Bible who was called Hayil Isha, and there's really one lady who gets that Hebrew delineation. Can anybody guess? Because there are some women of valor, I would say, in the Bible. Anybody want to guess who the Hayil Isha, the only woman other than Proverbs 31 woman who's given this Hayil Isha description, anybody want to guess who she is? Esther falls into that category because she demonstrated that, if you ask me, but she didn't get that title. Who else? Mary, definitely an amazing, but she didn't get that. Ruth, ding, 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 ding. Ruth is the one in the Bible who gets this virtuous woman delineation. Now, if we compare the Proverbs 31 woman with Ruth, how does Ruth fare? Because the Proverbs 31, was Ruth wealthy? Was she buying properties and making vineyards? Was she tending her children and loving her husband? Actually, you wanna know what Ruth was doing? She was in the welfare line. She was homeless. She was in trouble. She was a stranger and a foreigner in a land sojourning among Jews who didn't really like Moabite people for the most part. She was a Moabite woman who had nothing, who was in welfare. Brett, how was she in welfare? Well, do you remember, we talked about this on Wednesday night. Remember how the farmers were supposed to leave the corners of their field for the people who were poor? And then people that were poor who were hungry, they would glean in the field. That's what they called them, gleaners. And they would come and just pick the extra corn. That's how they'd survive, but just the corners of the field that the farmers would leave. That's what Ruth was doing. She was gleaning in a field of someone who was distantly linked to her. And I'm not gonna go into the whole story of Ruth because we don't have time, but she had a distant relative who was called a near kinsman or a kinsman redeemer. If you understand the biblical notion of a near kinsman, it's a beautiful picture of what Christ does for us. But this guy named Boaz was her near kinsman. And so long story short, that's her only hope of help. To know and to be helped by Boaz, her near kinsman. So she's got nothing. She's penniless. She's in trouble. But at the same time, a foreigner, gleaning in the field, no husband, no children. And yet she gets this call. Who calls her this? Well, none other than Boaz himself. Now Boaz, in the story of Ruth, I'm just giving you the quick version. He's a picture of Jesus. Ruth is a picture of us. We're the ones who are homeless, destitute, on welfare, in need of help because we can't help ourselves. That's the perfect picture. We're the Ruth of the story. Boaz is a picture of Jesus. I think it's interesting in Boaz, there's no record of sin. He always does everything right in the story, which makes him a good picture of Jesus. But if you recall, Ruth, at great risk and with great courage, she requests of Boaz that he would take up his role as the near kinsman. Basically, the implication is that he would take her to wife. A scary situation for a woman of those days to even think of such a thing. But what happens? Well, one of the most beautiful verses in scriptures in the Bible, I think it's Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, where Boaz answers her request. He says this in Ruth 3:11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman, a Hayil Isha. That's the same terminology of the Proverbs 31 woman. She gets that delineation. This is amazing. And not only does he say that she's that, but she says that all the city knows that she is a virtuous woman. A woman, a Hayil Shiel. Now you say, Brett, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I think it's great because one of the things Boaz does is he honors her as a virtuous woman, even though she doesn't really have that Hayil Isha standing. It's almost as if Boaz sees her in her potential of who she's going to be. Question, did Ruth amount to much? Does anybody know the answer to that? Did Ruth amount to much in her life? Oh man, this is scary. Do you know who her grandson was? King David. Hello, King David. Which means Ruth was the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ himself. That's kind of a thing, wouldn't you say? See, Ruth, Boaz takes her in, this Moabite woman who ends up in Jesus's genealogy. This is an amazing thing to me. Ruth, it's like Boaz saw her inner potential of who she really was, even though she wasn't technically a virtuous woman or a high-yield woman, but he saw her somehow in that potential and took her in and blessed her because of that. By the way, did you know there's a guy in the Bible that was given that same delineation? He was a virtuous man, but the English text doesn't call him a virtuous man. If you read it in the Hebrew, he's called a hayil man. Valor, bravery, force, strength, all that stuff. Does anybody know, who wants to take a stab? Who was called that by God himself? Anybody? Gideon, that's correct. You might think it was Joshua or, you know, some of the other great men of the Bible, but Gideon, do you remember what, this is a hilarious, it's like Ruth. Gideon, what is he doing when God booms down? Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. That's when he says, Gideon, hayil, you're a man of hayil, valor. When did he say that? Do you remember what Gideon was doing when God said that? He was shaking in his sandals, hiding like a chicken from the Midianites. He's hiding in a pit. Remember, if you know the story, Gideon's, he's hiding in a hole and he's threshing wheat down in the hole. He throws wheat up over the hole and the wind would blow the chaff and wheat would come down. Why is he doing that? Because he's totally freaked out because of the Midianites. He's hiding like a chicken. And God says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And if you read the story, remember what Gideon does? Are you talking to me? Really? Gideon marvels. He says, God, I'm not a mighty man of valor. And the Lord says, yes, you are. He says, no, I'm not. I'm not even in my community. I'm the least of the people in my community. In fact, Gideon says, not only am I the least person in our whole community, I'm the lowest, least person in my family. And you're calling me a mighty man of valor? How is it that God, was God making fun of Gideon? Nope. Just like Ruth, God saw the potential in Gideon and said, you're gonna be a mighty man of valor. God sees us in our future potential. Just like Boaz saw in Ruth, just like God saw in Gideon. The times of the Bible you see this word, Hayil, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, is the same time where God says, I see you all in potential. So here we are, the bride of Christ. And like I said earlier, is that a scary, here comes the bride, oh boy. I've done a lot of weddings and most of the time, 99.999% of the time, when the bride comes down and the back door's open, it's like, oh wow, you know, and you see the guy and he's all, whoo, and it's kind of a fun moment seeing the bride. There's been a few that I've been a little shocked though, I just have to admit. Years and years ago, this is long before I was a pastor at Athey Creek. I did over 500 weddings before I even came here at Athey, but one of the weddings, and I'm sure they're not tuning into this, from years and years ago. But I came and showed up to this wedding and the bride was furious. And she was screaming and cussing at her bridesmaids and she was just in a really bad bridezilla mode when I got there. And so, you know, the wedding ladies said, okay, the bride's ready for prayer. And so I came in and you could just tell there was tension in the room. But when I saw the bride, I literally shuddered just a little bit. I was like, oh. And I don't even know how to explain this. I don't know if it was the makeup. It was a little Cruella de Vil. It was I don't know what was going on there. But also, back, 20 years ago, there was kind of a trend, you ladies know, that are into the wedding thing. They were doing these crowns. And this one girl had a crown on her head with her makeup. But the crown was like this big around. It was like this little 3-inch round. But it went up straight tall like this with these big pointy spikes with balls on the end of each spike. The word maleficent came to mind, if you know what I mean. And so I was just like, I was trying, oh yeah, I prayed and went out and waited with the, I normally like, wait till you see your bride. I didn't say a word. I was just like. And sure enough, the doors open in the back and here comes the bride. And it just was a scary moment. I don't recall being quite so Do you ever wonder when Christ calls you and me the church of Jesus Christ? Because you know what people say about that. Oh, the church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of sinners. And the church is this and the church is that. Yeah, but guess what? We're the bride of Christ. Christ chose us to be his bride. And you say, how is that possible? Just like Gideon would say, why are you calling me a man of valor? Ruth saying, why would you choose me and call me a virtuous woman? Why would you do that? It's the same reason the Jewish man would sing that song, because the women of the community were to be celebrated for what they did do and what they were going to do. And it was an encouragement, not a list of things to do. And I love how God sees us in our potential. And you and I are now part of a collective bride of Christ that to God, he says, it's beautiful. And what does God do in his time? He makes what? All things beautiful in his time. Just like he made Ruth, this beautiful woman who became a major character in history of the world that changed the world. You know, our better than Boaz, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, he loves you and he chose you. We talked about election last week. He chose you and loves you and he calls us his bride. Does the Lord sing a song to us like the Jewish man sings the song to the about women, the Proverbs 31 woman or womanhood? Does God do that? I believe he does. We're told that God actually sings a song. Did you know God sings? I wonder what God's singing sounds like. But we know that from the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. I love this. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. God does this. The Lord thy God's in the midst of thee. Is God in our midst here at church on a Sunday morning? He is. Is he mighty? He absolutely is. He can do all things. There's nothing he can't do. But he will save, and he has. He saved us. Anybody who's accepted Christ and received Jesus as their Savior, they're saved. He will save. And then what does he do once we're saved? He rejoices over thee, you, his church, his bride. He rejoices with joy. Yeah, but Brad, I'm not there yet. I still make mistakes and I still sin. Doesn't matter. God knows you and your potential. He doesn't just see you here and now. He sees you 1,000 years from now when we're in heaven with all eternity with the Lord. And when we're transformed and changed, he knows who you're gonna be then too. And he's rejoicing over you. He will rejoice over you with joy. And how can he rest? Is he pacing back and forth going, ooh, I hope it works out with Pastor Brad. Oh, it's not looking good. Is that what God's doing? No, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Just like the singing Jewish father rejoicing over the women of the house, the mom, the mother, the grandmother, the daughter, the father would sing the Proverbs 31 woman because it really was approving what is excellent. In the same way, I would just say to the women of Athey Creek, you might feel like, well, I'm not a great mother, or I make mistakes, or I can't be a mother, or I'm a single woman still, and I wished I was married, or whatever the things that this world puts this wacko pressure on women. And man, it's so much worse today. We're trying to erase women today. But the Bible does exactly the opposite. It's amazing how the Bible gets a bad rap of being anti-woman, pro-man. All you gotta do is carefully read your Bible and you actually realize the Bible honors women to quite an extraordinary level. And it's so cool because as I read the Proverbs 31 woman, I actually can see it. Being the pastor of a large church, we have so many amazing women at Athey Creek. Women who are doing the, I can't say that one woman at Athey Creek's got it all dialed in. My wife's pretty darn close. But even the Proverbs 31 being so impossible, but when I look at the grand scheme of women at Athey Creek, wow, we have strong women of valor, bravely doing things that a lot of people don't do in this world. There's so much, the women that are taking their household and changing and transforming and raising godly children, women that are making their husbands happy that they're married to them. Women, and we can say there may not be, you know, everybody perfect, but we see in the church something to celebrate. And that's why Mother's Day is fun, because there's so much to approve and so much to see. And that's the point of Proverbs 31. It's to approve what is excellent. celebrate what God has put within women that's so good. And I'm of the opinion, maybe even a minority in the world today, I don't know, but I'm so thankful men and women are different. I would hate it if the world was just men. That sounds like a horrible existence to me. I'm so thankful that we have men and women who are different. I'm so thankful I got to be raised by a mom and a dad because they were so different. When I was 4 years old and I fell on my skateboard and skinned my knee, my mom would scoop me up and there I'd be, oh, yeah. And she would, you know, Band-Aid and blow and, oh, it's gonna be, and then she'd spray the devil's water on it, whatever that, Bactine or whatever that was. Remember, she'd spray like, ah! It was like, it was worse than crashing on your skateboard, but I knew she meant well. But there's mom. Meanwhile, your dad's like, come on, walk it off. What's a little blood? Knock it off. You know, come on, Brett, get up. Stop whining. Like, I needed both of those. I needed to have the toughen up, and I also needed the compassion of my mom, and I got to grow up with both. Sadly, more than half of the kids today grow up with only one. And we wonder why people are missing things in their life or not understanding the value of men and the value of women. You know what's so tragic to me? And I know I'm getting controversial on this one, but you know, Athey Creek, we are what you call a complementarian church. That is, we believe that men and women complement one another. Man, you put a man and a woman together in marriage and they complement. They're not competing, they're completing one another. But we see that not only in marriage, but we see that in church structure and leadership. The Bible tells us very clearly that men, God says, I want men to lead the church. Pastors and elders are men. The Bible says that. Well, you're a chauvinist pig, Brett. No, I'm a Bible believer. I believe what the Bible says. And as it turns out, there's amazing roles women have in the church that are incredible. I would put our women leaders at Athey Creek against any egalitarian. See, the other side is egalitarian. And here's what a lot of churches are adopting, and it's becoming more and more popular right now. In fact, the egalitarian church is demonizing the complementarian church crazily right now, which is such a weird thing. The church is falling into the same stupidity of the world. Let me tell you how that is. The world is saying equality, and there's no difference between a woman can do everything a man can do, and there's this bitter, angry thing the world is saying. But as it turns out, God says women can't do everything men can do, and men can't do everything women can do. Oh, yes, they can. Men can have children and give birth. Do you realize how stupid that is that you just said that? No, women can give birth to children, men can't. What an honor that women can bring, by God's power, life onto this earth. We men, we don't have that skill set. Like, it's an amazing thing. And compliment, see, at Athey Creek, we've got these amazing, strong women. I would put them up against any egalitarian church women. You know, they try to make it the narrative, oh, the women of a complementary church, they're pushed down and they're barefoot and pregnant, you know, and just being silent. They can't say anything. That's not really, that's just people making stupid stuff up. I would put the women at Athey Creek in a debate in 10 seconds against any of these ladies of these churches that are saying, we can do everything men can do. Ah, don't erase yourself. Let what the Bible says about the glorious honor that a woman should be given, and let the men celebrate and say, wow, look what God has made. I'm so thankful for the balance that we see here at Athey Creek. Watch out, Christian church. The world tries to make a good argument, and they've convinced a lot of people that men and women are basically the same. And the more we push that, we're just falling into the same dumb narrative that the world is, and we're not actually celebrating how amazingly different we are and how glad I am. Meanwhile, the Lord looks at his bride and says, I'm gonna rejoice over you with joy. In the same way, the Proverbs 31 woman is the man going, wow, look at the collective of women and what they do that's so much better than what oftentimes we as men could even try to do. And it's really not a list of things to do. It's a celebration of what women are doing. That's what I want Athey Creek to be, a place where we just acknowledge God's made us different. And man, how thankful I am for the great women of valor. Bravery, they're brave. To be a mom today and celebrate, and even to be a stay-at-home mom, that's a brave woman who does that. Or maybe you're a single woman saying, man, I'm gonna do what I can do and get a career so that I can do other things and serve the Lord. with the money that I make, or with the what the time that I'm gonna use to serve and bless others and help the needy and the poor. That woman's part of the Proverbs 31 too, as well. She's buying properties and doing all kinds. This is stuff that we can all say, wow, look what God has done. So on this Mother's Day, let's take a chapter out of the Jewish Hebrew Bible and let's celebrate what God does through women. In fact, you know, one of the great things we can do is we can compare the Proverbs 31 woman with the bride of Christ. If you're not part of the bride of Christ, if you haven't been saved, if you haven't accepted Jesus, then you're not part of his bride yet. You're on the outside of everything I'm just talking about. Maybe your mom, maybe you have a drug problem. Your mom drug you here to church on Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, so you have to go to church with me. And she brought you. What a glorious, wonderful thing to accept Christ, to be saved. Mom knows best on this. If you haven't accepted Christ, why wouldn't you? Can I just say, after church, you can ask your mom, Mom, what must I need to do to be saved? I'm sure your mom can tell you. But it really is simply this: repent of your sins and confess that you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose from the grave and that you accept the gift of salvation. And the Bible says you'll be saved if that comes from your heart through your mouth. Don't miss that. Maybe you're watching online. You can do the same thing wherever you are, but man, become part of the collective bride of Christ. It's one of the glorious things about becoming a Christian. So on this Mother's Day, may the Lord encourage you gals, women that are grandmas and mothers and single women, all to be rejoiced over and celebrated, biblically speaking, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, how thankful I am for just the different people that are part of your church, Lord. And I know we're flawed and we all make mistakes and none of us measure up completely to what we would hope ourselves to be. But what's so amazing is you approve us and you approve what is excellent. And you see us, Lord, in our potential. And I pray for the moms, the grandmas, the women of Athey Creek, that this weird pressure that our world puts on women today, I pray that they would see that junk for what it is and just really rejoice in who you've made them to be. Lord, I pray that we would see women rise up in strength and in power, even as the Proverbs 31. We see more and more women who are driven to bless others and have a purpose to be building their homes and their children, blessing their husbands and being a blessing even to the community around them. May they rejoice in that and find great fulfillment as they walk in your truth, Lord. Bless the women, we pray. And for those who don't know you, would you draw them to yourself? Because you are such a good God who approves us even before we've arrived, before we've done anything good, you still love us while we were yet sinners. So bless these, your people, on this Mother's Day. May this be a day of rejoicing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.